This is Free Talk Live. You dial on in toll free right here and take control of the airwaves. Bring up anything that's on your mind. As I am filling in for Mark, who was supposed to be filling in for Daryl.
I was surprised to see you when I came in.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always a pleasant surprise to see you guys. With you tonight, it's Ian.
Heather.
And Chris.
So, you know, we'll talk to you about whatever you want. Having just gotten back yesterday from the Somalia Fest and Shire Fests that happened over the weekend.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun. I've gotten varying reports that the Porcupine Freedom Festival is still going on up at Rogers Campground. Some have said the attendance appears to be down from a couple of years ago. Others have said it looks like it's going strong, so I wish them the best.
Likewise.
So we got all kinds of stuff in the news to talk about, but if you want to join us here, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Or you can Skype in at Skype username lrn.fm. So just before Mark and I and Daryl went up to Rogers Campground for the last several days to be in the White Mountains, the woods, with some wonderful people and such a beautiful place, there was the news that the congressional baseball game had gotten shot up by some maniac.
I saw that.
Yeah.
A Bernie supporter, apparently.
He was a Bernie supporter. It was Representative Scalise, and I don't have that story pulled up in front of me, but he was wounded relatively seriously, and two, I guess they were congressional or Capitol Police officers were wounded.
You know,
and then the shooter was killed.
I don't think that violence is the solution to problems, but at the very least, it was a politician who got shot this time, except, you know, at least it wasn't an innocent person. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm kind of...
go ahead, Heather.
You know, I consider everyone a sinner, so I don't think anybody should be getting shot. And I think it's sad whether it's a politician. I mean,
you think it's sad? I don't think it's sad.
I mean, like, what did the politician do?
He's a politician.
So
he passed laws that oppress
people.
Yeah, but
if he okay, and if he thought, like, you know,
he's
you gotta look
problem.
At like intent. You know, like what's somebody's intention doing something?
Am I
oppressing my daughter when I make her wear a coat and it's -5 degrees out? I mean. If she decides one day that she, you know, oh, well, I don't want to do it because I want to decide for myself if I accidentally word it, you know what I mean? Like, this is a hypothetical. My daughter is actually pretty awesome. But if I had a child like that and I forced my child to wear a coat to go outside, like, the child might feel like it's, you know, being oppressed, but it's
so what you're
really...
saying is we're all the politician's children?
No, I'm saying that, you know, there are some adults, though, that behave like children. I'm not going to lie.
Right. The question is, like, is whether we do.
I mean, like the people that go shooting up baseball games. That right there is behavior that I would consider irrational behavior that needs, like, some type of, like,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, it's not going to solve any problems. Again, I'm against using violence, but, you know, at least it was just a politician this time. I mean, they're the lowest form of life on the planet. I mean, even worse than mosquitoes.
You both feel very strongly about this. Here's where I come in, and again, I agree. I would never want to see anyone get shot. I also believe that even in a libertarian society, there would be some form, some rule of law. There would be some way that people would be judged, maybe by their peers or by someone. You know what I mean? And I don't like the idea of somebody taking judgment into their own hands and just saying, you know, I'm going to exact what I think you need on anybody. And even, you know, whether that's a police officer or a politician.
If all of a sudden tomorrow the federal government, House of Representatives and the Senate were to just disappear. Let's say it wasn't just it wasn't violence. Maybe
that was a Tom Clancy novel.
Maybe an alien ray that just made it all disappear. Maybe sent it all to another world entirely.
Okay.
Maybe a different dimension. I mean, you wouldn't be sad. I mean, sure, those you know, family members would be losing their loved ones.
Absolutely.
Obviously, they have kids or whatever. But I mean, would you really shed a tear that they were gone?
I think where we're at right now, there are a couple that I would honestly miss. Justin Amash, I would miss Justin. I think he's done a good job of trying to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rand Paul, for the most part, tries to do the right thing.
But if you had to lose all of them at once, would you really feel that bad because Rand Paul disappeared in the whole thing? I mean... You know, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet.
Well, I don't think we're going to settle this argument.
Isn't that like
here.
The same mindset the government has, though?
I know.
Like, you're starting to set a little status, right?
Exactly.
If you're hating, you're stating. So,
I'm not hating. I don't hate them. I pity them. There's a difference.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
I pity people who don't understand the violent system that they are foisting on innocent, peaceful people on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah,
they're doing the right thing while at the same time they're actually oppressing peaceful people. I pity those people.
Yeah, and oftentimes they will use, you know, horrible things that occur as justification for what they do.
That's right.
And this shooting is no different. Except in this case, one could argue that maybe some good will come out of it. A little silver lining. Do you think that's possible?
I don't know.
Well, for the first time ever, Congress is actually considering passing a law that would allow concealed carry of your firearm in all 50 states.
I mean,
yeah, like if you're allowed under this law to carry, then you could go anywhere in the country, even into schools, anywhere you want, carrying your sidearm, protecting yourself and protecting those around you.
That sounds amazing, Chris.
It does.
That sounds too good to be true.
Well, as it turns out, it certainly is too good to be true because this bill that's being considered by Congress grants that ability to who? Congress. I kid you not. I couldn't believe when I saw this one come across. Congress is considering new legislation. By the way, this story comes to us from the Washington Free Beacon. Okay. Congress is considering new legislation that would permit lawmakers to carry a concealed firearm wherever they perform official duties across the United States, according to a copy of the new bill that marks an unprecedented effort to help lawmakers confront a growing threat to their safety.
Hold that thought. We're going to continue with the story. It sounds just hilarious and ridiculous all at once. But first, we go to Andy. He's in Kansas. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Andy.
Yes, I would like to speak about the impeach Trump campaign.
Oh, there's a campaign for this now. Okay. I mean, I saw
there's a lot of people supporting it.
Okay.
But one thing that I don't think that they realize that is if Mr. Trump goes away, Mr. Pence will become president and Mr. Ryan will become vice president.
Yeah, this is something I never really understood about all the impeachment proceedings that every political side wants to go through. Impeach Clinton, impeach Trump, impeach Bush, impeach Obama. I mean,
nobody ever follows through. So.
Well, that's why the smart politicians pick the worst possible running mates.
You're just going to get another scumbag in their place. It's not like you're really going to accomplish any significant political change by replacing Donald Trump with Mike Pence or replacing Barack Obama with Joe, what's his name? I'm forgetting it right now.
Biden.
Joe Biden.
There you go.
Take your shotgun outside.
Yes. The last thing that we want is Paul Ryan as president. Let's try to keep him away from that position as far as we can, I would think.
To be clear, if Pence became president, Paul Ryan would not automatically become vice president. That is a line of secession. So if Trump and Pence were both killed and shot on the same day or whatever happened or impeached,
then
it would be Paul Ryan.
On the same day?
Well, at the same time or however you wanted to say it, or before. Let's say Trump got shot.
Yeah.
And Pence would automatically assume the presidency. And the day that he's being sworn in, he drops dead of a heart attack.
Yep.
Then Paul Ryan, if that occurred before he could name a vice president.
I see. Okay, so the president would just choose one? It wouldn't be the Congress who names
him? No, the president can choose a vice president.
Interesting.
Yeah, and if you look back, you know, like Gerald Ford, became vice president because that's who Nixon picked.
Yeah.
And then once he was in office, he chose John D. Rockefeller. Did I get the right one?
I don't know.
Was it John Rockefeller?
I'll take your word
for it.
I think
so. I'd have to
Google
that.
Andy, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. It's just there's so much effort that these political sides spend trying to impeach their hated one. Mm-hmm. It's just like, why? You're spending all this time, all this money. It's probably not going to even be successful, but even if it is, what's it really going to change?
Agreed.
It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free. Bring up anything you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And you can Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm. In the studio with you here tonight, you've got me, Ian.
Heather.
And Chris.
How'd you like to build a better financial system for everyone? You can join Dash. Dash is digital cash. It's a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast, private, and easy. Fees are low, and transactions are fast. It can even be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is decentralized and run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. Join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. You can find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now. Go to Dash.org and find out why. As we go back to your calls and thoughts, more about Congress trying to pass a law that would allow Congress to carry guns in all 50 states.
Yeah, kind of what we gun enthusiasts have been asking for years.
Exactly. Let's go first, though, to Stefan in Ohio. He is on Skype. Hello, Stefan.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Hey, what's on your mind?
Good.
I actually hadn't heard about that Congress would be the only ones allowed to carry with that reciprocity bill. But that's not what I called in to talk about. Did you watch the rally Trump had in Iowa yesterday?
No. I did not.
Didn't know about it.
He Don't floated care. This crazy idea about how we would pay for the wall, and you might get a kick out of this.
Oh, he yeah, said I want to hear this.
Yeah, I've been wondering.
He wants to put solar panels on the wall and apparently use the energy to cover the costs.
That's Meanwhile, brilliant.
It is pretty brilliant.
And that's Elon Musk money, too. So Elon Musk will even get richer because of this.
And now they can get the lefties behind it.
I like it.
But how could Elon Musk a libertarian? I mean, doesn't that automatically make him principled?
No and no.
You can ask libertarians that question, and they will say, yes, he's an amazing example. He's like the, you know, he's
will
a character
really?
Out of Ayn Rand. This is perfect. Yeah, out of Atlas Shrugged. You talk to the left and go, he's so much about green energy. He's such a great guy. You talk to conservatives, then they're like, he's just the quintessential American, you know, businessman, entrepreneur. Everybody loves this guy, I think, except for me.
Really?
Well, maybe you might not.
I mean, I don't know the dude, but it seems to me like he's a welfare queen.
He is. It's he is the crony capitalist of our generation.
Really? Did you hear about amazing. that other, there's some guy, I forget what state he was in, that was recently arrested for taking money from the Libertarian Party funds. I guess he was like the treasurer or something, and he spent like thousands of dollars on his own personal stuff, and that they audited their own party accounts and ended up calling the police, who ended up arresting him and charging him.
Wow. He's got a future in other political parties.
I saw this as an interesting contradiction on Trump's part, because it seems like in the past he's tried to sway as far away from investments in, you know, cleaner energy altogether. And he made a big deal. I'm going to bring back all of the coal jobs, which were disappearing anyway. But right. Now, for some reason, when it benefits him, he's just like, I'm going to put the solar panels on a wall. And I'm no engineer, but wouldn't that make zero sense, because it would only be able to get solar power on top of the wall anyway?
Well, you could do the south side facing Mexico.
And he literally said this. This is the real kicker here. He said, think about it. The higher the wall goes, the more it's worth.
Good point. Man, this guy's just all over this. I'm in love. Yes. You didn't honestly expect his proposal to make sense, like in a logical, rational way, did you? You're just being a little facetious.
Yeah, the wall doesn't even make sense. But I just saw it as a little, you know, contradiction on his part, because in the past he said, oh, you know, solar is inefficient, you know, coal is where it's at. And all of a sudden now he wants to invest in it.
In solar.
maybe this is just some bipartisanship, like he saw like Bernie Sanders and all the lefties that were all like, we need clean energy. And he was like, oh, okay, it's my idea now.
I think it is political pandering.
I mean, I do too.
No, I have a question, though. Okay, because
yeah, sure.
if you look at the way I thought like 5 years ago, it's so different from what I thought today. So right. Especially doing talk radio, I'm sure we could take little sound bites from you, Ian, of things that you may have thought or believed like years and years years ago when you first started the show, they're different from what you sure. do now. So are we, is it kind of like a, you know, a double standard to where if we change our views, it's like, oh, well, we learned and we grow and we grew wiser. You know what I mean? But right. when politicians do it, it's always, oh, it's because they lied. Because, but, you know, Hillary Clinton believed this one year and this the next year. Could it possibly be that we're, you know, preaching, we're not practicing what we preach and we're having double standards because of the fact that they're politicians?
I'll acknowledge that point because my politics today are completely different than what they were 5 years ago.
I mean, I voted for Mitt Romney. You know what I mean? So
get off the show. Just kidding.
I voted for Mitt Romney. I supported the Iraq war at first. I never actually looked into it. I never, you know, like put much thought into it. I just thought in the moment that was the right thing to do.
And, I hear you.
You know, maybe that's what, you know, some of these politicians, like I actually was on another talk radio recently and it was like the Young Jerks and we had on it a Massachusetts Democrat Senator, Patricia Jalen, okay. who had actually sponsored a bill to try to fight the 28% marijuana tax that they're trying to put on recreational marijuana, like a 28% tax, which is insane. So she's trying to fight that tax in order to kill the black market.
Wow, there's a Democrat trying to fight
yeah.
the tax.
But when I was like, honest to God, though, when I was having a conversation to her, and I actually found there was more of a takeaway with my conversation with her than most of my conversation with libertarians, because libertarians, like, at least from my experience lately, are just so dead set on everything they know that it's almost like there's so little humility. It's almost like, how are you so sure of everything? Because, like, I'm never sure of anything. You know what I mean? But talking to her, right, she started taking notes down when I'm having this conversation. Like, she was genuinely listening to learn from me. Like, when I told her that hemp can be used to pull toxins out of wastewaters and stuff like that, she's, like, writing notes down. And when, you know, she, like, thanked the veteran there that was, you know, talking about his opiate addiction and how, you know, the marijuana helped. And she's,
know,
like...
It's tricky to be a libertarian because you can easily be confronted with that question that you sort of brought up there of, well, shouldn't you be open to changing your mind? And generally, it's a good thing to be open-minded, but I don't really feel like I should be open to changing my mind to believing that it's okay to use aggressive force against my neighbor, right? Like, that's what a libertarian is against, is the use of aggressive force against a peaceful person. And I'm against that. And, you know, the only way I would be able to change my mind is if I became some sort of crazy, violent statist, and I don't see that being a possibility.
Yeah, and that's the thing with libertarianism. To me, at least, it's not a political movement, even though it sort of is. It's
a
philosophy.
Moral philosophy.
It is. It's a moral philosophy, and if you can choose to be how consistent you are with your beliefs in it. I know a lot of libertarians that are very inconsistent with that idea, but I try to be as consistent as I can, and that causes me to be in conflict with ideas and things that I held 5 years ago.
Am I open to new ideas as to how to accomplish getting from here to there? Yeah. Am I open to new ideas as far as
peaceful dialogue, I think, is a good step in the right direction. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And am I open to new ideas? And Stefan, I know you're trying to get in here, so hang on. We'll bring it back.
Yep.
Am I open to new ideas as far as how the marketplace should handle X function that the government handles? Yes, absolutely. I have no idea the way things are supposed to look. I don't know what the marketplace is going to do, but I'm not going to change the idea that I have rejected the idea of the use of force. I'm not going to re-embrace that as a libertarian. It's Free Talk Live.
Tired of spending hours hunting down the day's essential political news and views? Let Tom and Steve at Rational Review News Digest do it for you. Visit rationalreview.com for free, hand-curated news, commentary, and audio and video content. Choose from web, social media, and once-daily email editions. We've been the Freedom Movement's daily newspaper since 1991. Come find out why at rationalreview.com.
Talk Live. Dial on in toll free and take control of the airwaves at 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype as well. You can Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm. Plus, do want to let you know about how you can listen to Free Talk Live via our podcast feeds. We've got different types of feeds. We've got the main feed that's got Free Talk Live, the Free Talk Live Daily Digest, and the Edgington Post and more in it. or you can get all of those as separate feeds. So just go to feeds.freetalklive.com. You can link to over to all of our RSS feeds right there. And like the rest of the content at freetalklive.com, it's all completely free. So head on over to feeds.freetalklive.com. So we'll go back to Stefan in Ohio. You were talking about Elon. I guess we were talking about Elon Musk. It felt like you wanted to jump in with something, so go ahead.
With what you guys were talking about libertarians and inconsistency.
Oh, yeah, okay, that.
I would argue most people that would call themselves libertarians are inconsistent.
Probably
true.
As
much as I really hate to admit this, I would argue most libertarians aren't really libertarians. Most self-described libertarians aren't really what I would consider a libertarian.
I feel like a lot of them just do a lot of complaining and not enough acting. You know what I mean? Like this other talk radio that we brought up is, you know, the senator was like, oh, you know, write and call your Congress and your representatives and tell them not to support this 28% tax bill and support my bill instead and whatever. And I'm like, you know, the other thing that people should be aware of is don't just write your representatives to complain. Like, write them with ideas and with solutions, because you know what? That's exactly, like, not all of them are out to get you. Like, not all of them want to oppress you. You know what I mean? If you feel oppressed, elaborate your feelings and offer up an alternative, and maybe those will get implemented. You know what I mean? This is how we evolved from, you know, abolishing slavery and allowing women the right to vote, because you know what? These were groups that were feeling oppressed that spoke up about it.
Yeah,
you know what
true.
I mean?
Although I feel like it's more effective here in New Hampshire. In a lot of places, you can't even talk to these politicians. I mean, it's rare.
I never seem to have a problem talking with politicians.
Well,
and I talk with you. A lot of states
is not nearly as easy as
I feel like people. I feel like society has some trust issues, and y'all need some counseling. You know, everyone needs like one big like counseling session. Like the whole world, let's all get in on it and hug it out and get over.
What are the politicians? Do the politicians in, because you're from Massachusetts originally,
yes.
Heather? Were you talking to a lot of politicians down there, just as a constituent?
Oh, obviously. I ran for office in 2014. I ran for state senate.
As a regular constituent, were you able to talk to politicians?
I mean, I was talking to politicians.
How did you reach them? Do they have secretaries in Massachusetts?
I would call their offices. I'd speak with. Sometimes it'd be people in their offices. Sometimes it would be with them.
So the politician would actually get on the phone.
Sometimes, yeah.
How often?
And I've talked to attorney generals.
How often would the politicians get on the phone?
I mean, I've spoke with them a handful of times.
Out of how many calls?
Oh, God, I don't know. I mean, you're getting too specific here.
That's okay, but a percentage.
Would. But then again, you know.
Probably a smaller.
Less than 10%?
What? Well, I was very persistent, you know.
Yeah, okay. So less than 10% of your calls, would you say the politician
I can't.
Got
like, I don't feel comfortable giving a ballpark because I honestly have no idea, and it would be misrepresenting.
Okay. But I'm a minority, statistics. You would say a minority of the times.
I say more like
less than half the time.
You know what? Their staff has always been incredibly helpful too. Like even Congressman Keating, I called his
helpful. How? Like they sound like they're taking your notes or whatever that they're writing down.
No, meaning that they actually called other government agencies on my behalf or on behalf of
how
people
do you know?
That. Because I did the groundwork, Ian. I too was an activist for a while. Like,
so
I was on the
you
phone.
Followed up with the people
yes,
they called
yes,
to make sure
absolutely.
They actually called them. Then why didn't you just call them yourself?
What do you mean?
Okay, so you called to ask a politician to call someone for you. Is that what happened? Can you give me more specific?
Okay, so there's all different kinds. There's injustices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like even with my dad's situation, when his command in the military tried to, you know, take him off active duty orders, violating the Tucker and Military Pay Acts and all of this other stuff. Like, I've just been doing this and dealing with government agencies for a while. And there's ways to, like, go about, like, some offices are better than others. You know what I mean? When I was in D.C. trying to get answers regarding Adam's situation, like, it was like getting stonewalled. That was like the belly of the beast there. Government was so big, you couldn't get answers.
It's going to be worse. Yeah,
you know, on
sure.
the Cape where I was from, it's smaller.
I'm sorry. I'm listening to this conversation between Heather and Ian, and all I can think of is Office Space. And the guy going, well, couldn't you just give the specs for the product directly to the customers? Why do you have to physically carry it from point A to point B? Well,
I'm
because
a people person.
Exactly. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call, Stefan. I appreciate hearing from you. Yeah, I'm skeptical. I mean, I don't disbelieve what you're saying. I think that you are an unusually active person, Heather. You are probably far more active than even most activists are.
Sure.
You're certainly more active than the average person who might ever bother calling a politician's office or writing a letter to that politician or even using one of those online services, you know, where you just go and like put in your zip code and it automatically fills in, you know, everything for you and you just hit send. Those people aren't talking to the politicians. The politicians don't want to talk to the people. They're not interested outside of New Hampshire. In New Hampshire, they are really like citizen legislators. You can call them at their house a lot of the time and they'll answer, or their kid will answer and then like, you know, say, hey, can you put your mom on? And then they'll put mom on. I've done that. It's easy to call and talk to politicians in New Hampshire, but people who live in New Hampshire may not understand how hard it is to contact these people outside. Politicians, even state politicians, state representatives, they have full staffs, they have aides, they have gatekeepers, they have secretaries, they have people who it's their job to get in between you and them,
right,
so that they don't have to actually hear from you. The only time those politicians ever talk to people, the little people,
do you think maybe
is during their political campaign.
Right, or
do you think
fundraising.
It's a lot easier to get in touch with, you know, politicians here in New Hampshire because, you know, the city of Boston has more people than the entire state of New Hampshire. And then New Hampshire has like one of the biggest legislatures. So there's
it's because it's a big legislature and they only get paid $100 a year. So it doesn't attract the political like pros. Mm-hmm. And they also don't have any staff. Senate has a staff person who answers their phones for them, but the House of Representatives do not.
Right.
You don't think, though, that, like, when it comes to having 6 million people living in, like, one tiny little city, mm-hmm. like, that some type of, like, authority or structure organizing, like, social organization has to exist in order to keep the peace?
I think it just could just happen. We've had organizations develop spontaneously throughout history, and people come together and figure out problems. Sometimes they figure it out by enacting governments. Sometimes they don't. The Scottish people back in the years, 1100 to 1400, it was a long period of time where the entire country functioned with no functioning government at all.
It was just village by village.
Scotland.
Scotland had no
government. I'll get into that. But it was just basically people in a village that work with people in the next village, and it just sort of worked.
I'm all for like no victim, no crime type thing. You know what I mean?
Right. But what I can't do is say that you cannot have a city of 6 million people or a state with 1.3 million people and say that government is a requirement for things to work smoothly. I can't do that because more often than not, things work worse under government than things work without government. I mean, tons of examples of that.
I'm not going to lie, though. Massachusetts has, like, somewhat better roads.
Of course they do.
The roads in my town, like, suck, man.
I go to
work and I'm like, dude, really? Is this what, like...
Exactly. Our roads in my town are horrible, and I'm happy. But... I'm like, yes.
Yeah,
I didn't get taxed to fix that pothole.
I just got told I need 2 new tires on my car, and I'm not happy about it.
So. I hear you.
Let's continue with more of your calls on the way here. Coming up, you can join us at 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype as well. Skype username, lrn.fm. This is Free Talk Live. Coming up. Talk Live. You may dial toll-free right here and bring up anything that's on your mind. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype. So Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm. And we're going to go back to the phones and the fun. Then more on the way about these congressmen who have put forth a bill. It hasn't passed
yet. One would argue a really good bill. if it didn't just apply to them.
Right. That would allow them to carry guns in all 50 states. But first, let's go to Scott. He's in Massachusetts. Scott the Bigot, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, good evening.
Hello there.
Ian, Heather, and Chris.
Good evening.
I'd like to discuss the shooting in Alexandria, Virginia.
Sure. What happened there? Was that the congressional shooting one?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That shooting happened because of Charles Schumer, the hatred that's been generated by Charles Schumer and Adam Schiff and Dianne Feinstein and Bernie Sanders and Michael Bloomberg, the media mogul, and George Soros. This is all
but
Jewish
wasn't
communism.
Wasn't this guy a Bernie Sanders supporter? How would hatred generated by Bernie Sanders have motivated him to shoot a Republican?
Because he was brought up on this Jewish communism garbage.
Who, Bernie Sanders?
No. Well, Bernie Sanders is Jewish, and he's a communist. And all the names I listed just now are all Jews, and they're all communists.
Wow.
This is what's going on in America, and I agree with you, Ian. I hate the United States government.
I hate the
United States government because it does not represent me or the average American. Democrats and Republicans are absolutely irrelevant. At the end of the day, all that matters is that you have a Zionist-occupied government, or ZOG. And what Zionist-occupied government, for your listeners who do not know what that is, it encompasses an all-Jewish government. You've got Wall Street that's controlled by Goldman Sachs.
I don't disagree that there are a lot of people that are of the Jewish faith that are in positions of control, but you also have a lot of people that are Christians that are in positions of control, and probably some Muslims out there, too.
Yeah, how do you explain all the Christians?
Yes, of course, there's wealthy Muslims, there's wealthy Italians, there's wealthy, but no other group in the world wields the kind of power that the international Jews do. And the term international Jew comes from an all-in-all.
What percentage? Hold on, before you go on. I mean, first you said that it was a completely Jewish-controlled government, but now you seem to be admitting that it's not. So, I mean,
It's a Zionist occupied government.
Are you aware of like the thousands and thousands of Orthodox Jews that protested the Israeli government and said that detested the existence of the state as being against their religion and saying that they didn't want their Jewish men being young men being taken out of their religious studies and forced to fight in unethical wars? Are you aware of any of this? I mean, there was tens of thousands of these Jews.
Israel is part of the problem in the Middle East. It's a major part of the problem.
Is it Israel or is it just like a group of people that want power over other people? Like, is it fair to blame the religion when there's other tens of thousands of people that practice this religion detesting the government?
First because frequently all, governments who have people of certain religions running them don't actually align with the beliefs of that religion.
Exactly.
It's just these individuals who are seeking power who use that religion as their, you know, their excuse or their cloak.
I would argue my Christian beliefs is what
ultimately
I would identify. Yeah, like I believe in like, you know, the commandments and stuff like that, you know, and it's thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, you know, all these things like, you know, that governments kill, they lie. I mean,
the Ten Commandments, that was part of the Old Testament, right? So the Jews and the Muslims also
adhere
to them?
Yeah, they all kind of like share. So all the religions fundamentally are kind of founded on the same principles.
Well, those three, the Abrahamic
religion.
Jews
are not a religion. They're a race.
They're both.
I mean,
Judaism.
They want you to think that the Jews want you to think that they're a religion so that they can hide behind it. Adolf Hitler said it best in Mein Kampf that the Jews face themselves as a religion, which is a phony. So that they can go and conquer the world as using religion as a cloak.
Well, for,
and that's interesting that they've been pulling this wool over everybody's eyes for the last, 3,000-4,000 years?
2,000 years or more. But I want
Well,
you
they
to
haven't
know
done a very good job of taking over the world because their religion is not a majority of the world.
Yeah, and I just wanted to pull up some numbers there because I was kind of curious. So, admittedly, this is Wikipedia. Sorry, it's the fastest thing I can pull up. Christianity, 2.2 billion people worldwide.
Oh, yeah, I was going to look that up, too.
Islam, 1.6 billion people. Secular, non-religious, agnostic, or atheist, about 1.1 billion. Hinduism, 1 billion. Chinese traditional religions, 394 million. Buddhism, 376 million. Ethnic religions, excluding some of those. The long and the short of it is I go through sort of the indigenous population religions, you know, like whatever Eskimos or Native Americans might worship. Mm-hmm. I go through the African astrology. Traditional religions. I go through the Sikhs. I go through Spiritism. And here down, what, maybe 10, 11, 12 down is Judaism, which is 14 million people worldwide.
0.2% of the world's population. 0.2%.
Compared to 31.5% for Christianity, for example.
So, I mean, really...
Don't let the numbers fool you. Don't let the numbers fool you. As Henry Ford wrote almost a century ago in The International Jew, from the Rothschilds, from their banking that they control, to...
Scott's read like two books. About this, and he just loves to keep bringing them up.
One of them's Mein Kampf. Hey, on some things, Scott, I will absolutely agree with you. I do believe that the Rothschilds have a long history of banking and inflicting.
They cause wars. I want to
they do, because they can profit from both sides of the wars.
Yeah,
but where
I
refuse to go. No, yeah, and that's my point. I can completely disagree with the methods of the Rothschild family through history, but still not single out anyone who's Jewish and
just
say...
Just because Elon Musk is a little government welfare baby doesn't mean every libertarian is.
Oh, boy.
You know? Isn't that like the same concept?
Yeah.
What's that?
He could be like, oh, Elon Musk is, you know, doing this and that. So that means all the libertarians are like out to like rob us and, you know, put solar panels on walls in Mexico.
Anti-Semitism is a lot more complicated to explain than just all the liberalism that's going on in the United States, from homosexuality, civil rights, everything, all comes from the Jews. The Jews' stock and trade is always liberalism.
Homosexuality comes from the Jews? I mean, you just
seems to me like in the Old Testament that's pretty clearly covered, I think, in Leviticus.
You know, you say that the Jews have a small number, but let me tell you what they did. Earth-shaking. They started the Russian Revolution. They invented communism, which enslaved billions of people across the globe. The Jews were absolutely responsible for the overthrow of Tsar Nicholas II in 1917 in Tsarist Russia.
You know, here's your problem, Scott. You think in terms of groups, and so even if a Jewish person did some of the things that you say that they did, that doesn't mean all Jewish people did those things. It doesn't mean that all Jewish people support those things.
It's the international Jews. And there's three groups of international Jews that are.
So what percentage of Jewish people are you talking about when you say the Jews?
What percentage is international Jews?
I am talking about international Jews.
Answer the question.
Henry Ford put out in the 1920s.
What percentage?
He titled it the international Jews.
We've got 14 million Jews. 14 million Jews worldwide. That was the number we're using for argument's sake. What percentage are international?
Very tiny, very tiny amount. I'm not talking about the Orthodox Jews with their tefillin and their beards.
So then why don't you be specific?
What is your solution?
Oh God!
I mean, you have a lot of
complaining. Do you have a final solution?
Do you have like a way to make the world better that we can handle this? I mean, what's your solution to solve this problem?
The way that you can only do it is to be aware. If you have a disease like cancer or diabetes, you have to be aware of it. And we have to be aware that there's three powerful groups in the world of international Jewry that are to enslave the world. It's international Jewish finance.
How is being aware of it going to change it?
International Jewish communism and international Jewish Zionism.
Scott, how is being aware of the claims you're making, whether they're true or not, but let's, for the sake of the discussion, say they're true. How is being aware that there are so-called international Jews controlling X, Y, and Z, how does that help anybody? How does that solve the problem?
They need to be controlled. That's A is to know what the problem is.
And how would you do that? How would you purport to control those people?
Yep. Under President Scott the Bigot platform, how would you control the international Jew?
If I know what you want me. You want to say put them in concentration.
I didn't
no,
say
that's
I
the
didn't.
Last if, thing I want. I would never advocate that.
I would congregate them all and put them, let's say, on Madagascar off the African coast.
I saw the movie Madagascar.
So
it's
like
kind of
a prison
place. Place.
Kind of like Escape from New York, kind of like that.
Could be. Well, in either case.
All right. Well, at least now we know. Thank you, Scott, for your call tonight. All right, so he's going to round up just the international Jews.
Right.
Not
so for most of you Jewish people listening, you probably have nothing to worry about unless you are one of those international Jews. Then Scott may come a-knocking.
Right, if Scott gets in charge, if he is the next president of the United States.
Hey, you get a free trip to Madagascar.
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. You can bring up whatever you want. and take control of the airwaves. Hour number two is on the way. You can weigh in on Scott or whatever's on your mind on Free Talk Live.
Bitcoin.com is the most unique online destination in the Bitcoin universe. Buying Bitcoin? Do it here. Want to speak your mind to other Bitcoin users? Our forum is always open and censorship free at forum.bitcoin.com. There's no bigger Bitcoin believers than the Bitcoin.com team. That's why this site is a one-stop shop for everything you need to get into Bitcoin life. You can also play games at games.bitcoin.com. Learn more at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Dial toll free and join us on the radio here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and our Skype username is lrn.fm. So feel free to reach out to us there and bring up anything that you want. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Heather.
And Chris.
To the phones. To the phone. Let's talk to Greg. He's in New York. You're on Free Talk Live. Hey, Greg.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to respond to the previous caller.
Okay.
First of all, I want to give you guys kudos, everybody, for, you know, letting people on and saying their views. I personally believe in engaging with people as long as they remain reasonable. And I just wanted to sort of address a lot of the stuff he was saying.
Sure, go for it. You're talking about, for our listeners just tuning in, you're talking about a guy who we lovingly refer to as Scott the Bigot, who has been calling this show. Actually, he took a five-year break from calling, and now he's calling back regularly. And I'm actually kind of glad to have him back, because it does give us a chance to talk about some crazy ideas and, you know, and rebut his obvious bigotry and racism
towards Jews
on the air. Well, he's also bigoted against other folks, but mostly Jewish people. That does tend to be his main target. He doesn't tend to like anyone besides white Christian males. Like, he doesn't really like women very much. He doesn't really, he likes his mom, but he doesn't really like women very much. But he doesn't like black people either. If they look different than him, he probably doesn't like them. But anyway, go ahead, Greg, with your response to Scott the Bigot.
Right. So I don't know, you know, if he's being serious, but I'm going to assume he is. So look,
I think he's real.
So if he's real, I mean, Scott, if you're listening, and also if you have similar views, look, I understand that a lot of people take that very seriously. They look at facts, and then they come up with a theory of how to blame a certain group of people. And if the group is like a small group, say 14 million out of the whole world population, then you could also kind of do it with impunity. And you could say, okay, let's get these people. And in the past, that's what happened. People had pogroms on the Jews. In Russia, where he says the Jews killed Nikolai Tsar. The Jews were persecuted under the Russian Empire and under the Tsars for hundreds of years, and they literally were killed, and people blamed them for a lot of things. I mean, people blamed Jews for poisoning the wells during the Black Plague, and they said that the Jews did it.
Right.
So look, today, you can make the same argument about white Christian males. I mean, I'm just going to do this not because every white male is this way, but just to show you the logic. Look, Christopher Columbus murdered the people on Hispaniola. Every island, all these conquistadors, right? The white man, right? They went and they took the indigenous people, and now the indigenous people are no longer there. They took their land. So if he's concerned about Israel, let's say, well, how much more people were exterminated either by disease, which the white man brought, or by the guns or whatever? There's a book, Gun, Germs, and Steel, that talks about how the Europeans went out and they were able to be more successful militarily, and explains why. So does that mean that we should round up all white people or wait until other people are the majority, let's say, in the country or whatever? Are we supposed to now blame all white male people for, you know, and say the white man is a cancer on this planet because other people were just peacefully fishing until the white man
Well, if I can hop in here, yeah, that's exactly what's kind of going on right now.
There's some people that think like that.
Yeah, and I see it all the time. It was interesting. I went downtown for lunch with an old friend from high school who popped into town today.
Downtown Keene, okay.
Yeah, downtown Keene, New Hampshire. And as I'm walking in, this girl's young girl, she looked like she was maybe 19, 20 years old, cute, bubbly, full of life, big smile on her face, said, I was just wondering, hi, how are you? Would you be interested in signing this petition against hate speech? They were downtown today, at least this girl was.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, we're kind of on our way to lunch and see ya. Uh-huh. But I really wanted to say, it really sounds like what you're trying to do is tell me what is okay for me to say, what's okay for me to have opinions about. And if they're not in line with what you think, then that's bad. So I don't disagree with you at all.
It would depend on what the petition wanted, right? Like, if the petition was trying to ban hate speech, then that would be wrong.
Sure.
But if the petition was just like, we're against this, well, then that's not that objective.
Right.
Well,
I mean, or somebody said one thing in particular.
They wanted to ban hate speech in a private entity, then, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't get that far because I was making assumptions about where it was going.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing if you were to have, like, you know, rules of your house or something. Like, you know, people of, like, all colors and stuff, don't say anything bad about anybody or you're not welcome here. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
I have a no shooting heroin in my house rule.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that
so
anybody's
I don't
ever tried,
that,
but
you know,
I don't think I want to support that.
In public places, I don't think it's, you know.
Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, so look, if you hear something like that, you're like, look, it kind of matches the fact, you know. You could do the same thing about anything. You could take Christianity and say, look, George W. Bush thought that it was crusade that he was going on. He kind of...
Hello? Uh-oh. I think we might be losing some packets here, but I'm going to guess that the point he was going to make there was that George W. Bush, being a Christian, was going on a crusade. Does that mean that all Christians should be punished for the war crimes that George W. Bush committed?
Sure.
And of course not. People are individuals.
And right, things, exactly. And just... Okay, you know, but I just want to say that a lot of countries involved in World War One and World War Two were Christian countries.
Yep.
Does that mean in the 20th century that Christianity was the more dangerous religion? The Nazis were killing the Jews. Does that mean that the Christians are bloodthirsty maniacs? I mean, you know,
some
so
of them are.
You could apply this.
I think you have successfully debunked Scott the Bigot.
Yeah, nice job, Greg. Thanks for the call tonight.
Yeah, I do appreciate it. And if there were one group of people I would put together that probably wreaked more havoc on us in the last, you know, century, I look at socialists.
Mm-hmm.
I look at socialism, and as a system, it has caused more death and destruction on this planet than anything else. You could put government up above that and have an even bigger number.
For sure. Let's talk to Patrick in Bullhead City, Arizona, listening to K-Talks. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guys, you touched on a real cool subject, and I did some thinking about why Trump would want to put solar panels up on the wall.
All right.
Okay?
Let's hear it.
Think about, I mean, I live out in an area where when the solar industry hit, all these companies came out from overseas, like China and everything, and we got some huge solar plants out here in the western area, and they're pretty much owned by foreign entities, which... Mm-hmm. Not really American, but the fact is, the big question is everybody said, is who's going to pay for the wall? Now, if he's thinking what I was trying to think this through a little bit, if he, with all the states that he has to go through and all the regulations, power lines going through native lands, you know, all the things that he has to go through, that if he got a foreign company to come in and they were using them as just regenerating electricity and selling off the excess, that he would be able to probably get investors from other countries to come in and do it. I mean, it's not very American.
Yeah, take some American jobs. I'm going to lobby for a Mexican company.
Why not? I mean, but the thing is what would tick off the Spanish or the Mexicans more on the border if the Chinese came in?
I don't know why the whole wall thing's even like an issue at this point.
Why is this a thing?
You know what I mean? Like, well, like, there hasn't been a wall for how long? Like, there's like, we're not being overrun by Mexicans right now.
There's a lot of feds out there.
I mean,
doesn't do any good.
There's an actual wall fall out there if you do go out there. But the problem they were having so much was, first of all, maintaining it and who's going to do what. And then going through tribal land was a big issue. And I mean, it's always been a controversy out here in the Southwest. But it when I was thinking about what he was saying and thinking about all the laws with the EPAs, the Democrats, the different things that, I mean, in a business sense, because the man is a businessman. He's not a politician, although...
Well, he's a politician now, and that's the trick that the politicians will play on you. Hang on a second, Patrick. The trick is that they claim that they have all this business experience and that's somehow going to help them in government, but it never does because government's incentives are reversed. It's Free Talk Live. You dial on in toll-free. Join us on the radio. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733, and Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm. By the way, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Bitcoin.com. You go to Bitcoin.com, you'll learn the basics about Bitcoin, or if you're not so brand new, maybe you're old school, you can go to news.bitcoin.com and get the latest news about the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency universe. You head over to Bitcoin.com. You'll also find games that you can play with your Bitcoin, plus the forum. It's uncensored. You can easily discuss Bitcoin with other cryptocurrency fans over at Bitcoin.com. The toll-free number here tonight, if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. It's Ian, Heather, and Chris in the studio. Let's go back to Patrick in Bullhead City. So, Patrick, you were trying to kind of tell us what you think the, I don't know, Trump's motivation was for this wall proposal where he wants to put solar panels up. And I don't know if you quite got your whole point out. Could you try that again? Patrick, Bullhead City. Did we lose Patrick?
Aww,
Patrick
bummer.
Going once. Patrick going twice. Patrick's gone. All right. Well, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. So we were talking. So he was talking about this wall, this idea to put solar panels up on the wall, and it just kind of led to a larger conversation about the wall in general as an issue, and you know, is it actually going to stop people from coming here? I would say no, it's not going to stop people from coming in here, because as long as there's more freedom here than there is where they're coming from, they're probably going to come here. If you want people to stop coming into the United States, all you have to do is make it a complete totalitarian dictatorship, police state hellhole, like, you know, Venezuela or something like that.
Yeah, take your pick.
You know, and then people won't want to come here, because nobody in their right mind would want to actually go and live in Venezuela right now.
True. And you would expect to see that immigration to the U.S. will gradually decline over the next decade or so, just because we're less appealing, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
The draw just isn't there as like it was 10, 20, 30 years ago.
So if you want to join us here, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We started out the show tonight, Chris. You mentioned basically a headline. We didn't really get much detail on it. Which was about this, or post this shooting in D.C., where some dude who was a Bernie fan shot up a congressional baseball game and ended up shooting a congressperson. Yep. And a couple of Capitol Police and maybe somebody else. But now certain people in Congress have put forward a bill to legalize the carrying of a weapon.
Right.
For congressmen.
See, Ned. And for those of you that don't understand how carrying a sidearm, a pistol, a revolver, something like that works. Mm-hmm. If you want to conceal it in most states,
You need a permit.
So the permit is good in that state.
And in some states, you need it to open carry as well, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to carry in a different state, either your state has to have what they call reciprocity with that state. So, for example, I have a New Hampshire permit. I can go to Pennsylvania, and my permit is just as good as it is in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. But what gun rights activists like myself have been asking for years has been, let's do nationwide reciprocity. Let's grant this ability to carry a gun so you don't have to worry about crossing borders and getting busted, because sometimes it's really serious. You get caught in New York, you're probably going to do jail time.
Mm-hmm.
So
same with Mass.
So yeah, and here we go. Yeah, Massachusetts. If you have just a round in your car, you can go to jail.
That's a felony, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm not gonna
I feel like it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Congress comes up with this idea. One lawmaker comes up with the idea and says, "Yeah, let's do that, but let's only have it for congressmen." And to recap where we were at, Congress is considering new legislation that would permit lawmakers to carry a concealed firearm wherever they perform official duties across the United States, according to a copy of the new bill that marks an unprecedented effort to help lawmakers confront a growing threat to their safety. Representative Brian Babin, Republican of Texas, introduced the legislation on Tuesday, about a week after a radicalized shooter opposed to President Donald Trump and Republicans shot.
Are there unradical shooters?
That's a good point. Shot Republican Steve Scalise, Republican from Louisiana, a congressional staffer, a lobbyist, and two Capitol Police officers
in
Virginia.
It would have been a little bit better of a story had this come from a Democrat. You know, the proposal to allow them to
right.
carry guns.
That would have been the ultimate irony.
Yeah.
The legislation would enable certified members of Congress to carry a concealed weapon in nearly every conceivable scenario, according to information released by Babin's office. The legislation would supersede any other state or federal concealed carry laws, meaning that lawmakers would still enjoy the privilege, even if secondary laws state otherwise. This is particularly significant as
federal
a district
lawmakers, right?
Yes.
Not state.
Correct.
Okay.
No, it would supersede state laws.
But meaning that it still only applies to federal Congress. It doesn't apply to the state
correct.
Congress people.
That's,
okay.
That's correct.
No, they don't care about the states.
Sure.
Exactly. This is particularly significant as the District of Columbia has notoriously strict gun laws
right.
that have complicated similar efforts in the past. So here you have this thing that virtually every gun rights activist and organization has been asking for years. Somebody finally gets it formed into proposed legislation, but it only applies to them.
Well, and isn't
like
it,
many things.
You know, it's certainly worth pointing out here that not only is this what people who believe in the right to bear arms want, is the ability to bear their arms in any place they go within the United States or the
sure.
world for that matter, but it does acknowledge that ultimately, the reason why people need guns to protect themselves is because they are under threat, because there is the possibility of some crazy person out there either targeting them specifically or targeting them randomly.
Right.
But you have to be able to defend yourself against that person, and that means you have to be able to escalate the level of force to the level necessary to stop the attack from happening and rebuff that the attacker. This is a tacit admission of, hey, you need to be able to take care of yourself. They're admitting
right.
that they, the Congress people, need to be able to take care of themselves, because not even having bodyguards around and police around is sufficient. It's not handling the threat.
Right, and they had officers right there with them.
That's right.
And you don't
and
even have
still
to
wasn't.
Just be like a politician or something like that. Like random people. Christina Grimmie, she was a beautiful singer, beautiful girl on The Voice. She got shot at her concert. Outside her concert in Orlando by some crazed guy.
Right.
And I mean, this girl, if you watch her video, she is like the kindest, sweetest, like bubbliest personality. And it like,
right.
And when she sings, I swear it's like angelic, and it like breaks my heart, because I'm like, why would somebody want to just end her life? Like,
but was it an attack targeting her?
Yeah,
or was it just,
like the
okay,
guy showed up at her concert to shoot and kill her. Like,
jeez.
Just lost
wow.
his marbles. Like,
well,
I don't get it.
That's nuts. But you have other situations where, you know, say it's a drug-related, you know, drive-by shooting where innocent people get shot.
Right.
Now, I would argue the violence there is caused by our drug policy.
Certainly.
But it's one of those cases of somebody else has a gun, and your only chance of surviving, your only ability to save your own life, would mean you have to have one too. And it's just ridiculous. To deny people the ability to protect themselves, protect their lives, is basically saying that you own them and no one owns themselves. And that's wrong.
Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. I will be morphing into Mark Edge here in moments, so I can enjoy the rest of my half of my one night a week off. So more Free Talk Live coming up with Mark and Chris and Heather. It's Free Talk Live.
Dash is digital cash, a digital currency designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy, fees are low, and transactions are confirmed instantly. Pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime, for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is the first digital money that's governed by its users. Join Dash and help us build a better financial system for everyone. Find out more at dash.org. That's dash.org.
Free Talk Live. Yeah, that's right. I have morphed into Mark from Ian. You can give us a call at 855-450-3733, this live Thursday edition. It's Mark with you.
And Heather.
And Chris.
Just to get everybody clear what's going on here. So Daryl normally heads up the Thursday show.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl is the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So I should be heading up the show since Daryl sort of took over for me years ago in this position. However, I had a private jiu-jitsu lesson this evening that I had planned in advance before we sort of realized, oh, Daryl's not going to be here. So Ian sat in for me, and now he wants his half a night off, which is completely fair.
And you've spent the last how long getting the heck kicked out of you?
Well, yeah. Like, I went in there at 5 o'clock, and I've had, people between the sizes of 185 to 250 pounds.
Do you teach it?
Tossing. I don't teach it.
you take it?
I'm a white belt. Yeah, so I take the class.
And you take it.
Yeah. Well, I'm their favorite kind, right? Like, I'm strong.
Right.
But I'm not particularly skilled.
Oh, exactly.
So it's a lot of fun to, you can do what you want with somebody like that.
Let's go beat up the big guy.
Yeah, right. I used to do jiu-jitsu. Yeah, I used to roll twice a week with my pastor.
There you go. See, so they're a little nicer with the ladies.
Right? Is that a joke?
I swear to God, he was a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Right.
And a bunch of us used to roll for an hour before Wednesday night Bible study. And then on Saturdays at the Bridgewater, was it Bishop's Training Center?
Interesting.
You take this it doesn't take more than a couple of classes before you're not thinking of ladies as ladies anymore. it's just
not even there.
Yeah.
Oh, no, man. I caught people in a mean armbar. Like,
right.
I think it was so funny. Like, guys would they would roll with me, and they'd assume because I'm a woman and it was my first class or whatever. When I started going to the gym, because he had a little gym set up in his house too, where I trained before I actually went to the gym. So when I started being a part of the class and I was the new one, I'd roll. People would instantly be like, "Whoa!" Like, you know, caught off guard. You know,
smaller people could jump around a little more quickly and grab your arms. And
I'm also like built solid. Like, I deadlifted my personal record the other day. It was 250 pounds. So.
That's a good deadlift.
Yeah. Wow, no kidding.
So. No doubt. Anyway, I'm a little lost on where we are as far as show prep here. What's going on, Chris?
We talked a little bit about Congress passing what, if it would have been passed in a different way, would have been the quintessential concealed carry law of all time,
mm-hmm.
allowing anyone to carry guns across state lines and concealed carry anywhere in the country. Unfortunately, it only applies to members of Congress.
Of course it does. It's like their health care plan, too.
Yeah, they get out of Obamacare.
I saw this article, and I was completely unsurprised, but you're absolutely right. I think that for me, when states are supposed to have reciprocity as far as contracts go,
right.
And when you get a concealed carry permit from New Hampshire or Arizona or wherever it is that you might have gotten one, and that permit should across all state lines. There shouldn't be a particular problem as far as these things go, as my understanding of the Constitution. Now, there was a time prior to the Civil War when the Constitution really only affected the federal government, and I'm not 100% sure. They didn't have concealed carry permits at that time anyway.
Right. Who cared?
It's really sort of confusing. Why should it be so difficult for somebody who's gone through whatever the process is in their state?
Some level of background check, no matter where you're at.
Right.
Minimally.
The federal
government. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't think there should be a permitting process for carrying the ability to defend myself against threat to life.
No, I'm saying, like, okay, so obviously, like, we've all seen people that have, like, short wick tempers, right?
Yep.
Like, I saw a video the other day on YouTube, and it was this guy that, like, got out of his car, walked up to the window, and there was, like, this guy and his girlfriend sitting inside another car, It was a clear case of road rage, right? So the couple's sitting in the car with the windows rolled up, not saying anything. This guy is standing outside the window, like screaming, foaming at the mouth, like, get out. I'm going to F you up. I'm going to do this.
I saw that video.
And it was crazy. And I'm looking at the way this guy is behaving, thinking like, you know, what if he could like just walk into a store and have a gun? Like, but if you had a video like that, where you can clearly see somebody displaying that kind of a behavior, do you guys think he should still be allowed to walk into a store and purchase a firearm?
Well, I think that humans... okay, so have you ever been that angry?
I don't think so.
I can tell you I have. I've been angry. Right. Like, just foaming at the mouth, angry. Now, I'm not saying that I would have made the decision to shoot. At that point, when I got that angry, I didn't do anything. I just yelled and screamed.
Right.
But, people have... All different people have all different personalities, and like sort of one incident that gets caught on film, I don't think defines that person for life. However, I guess what my opinion is, as long as the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed, it shouldn't be infringed. I may be for some kind of change to the Second Amendment to say, hey, you know, crazy people and convicted felons or whatever the terminology is that they come up with. It's just that I don't like the way it's written, and they don't follow it. If we're gonna have rules, we should have rules, and the referees don't follow the rules here. Mm-hmm. You know, they make new rules up.
Right.
They say, well, yeah, cannot be infringed, shall not be infringed doesn't mean shall not be infringed. It means you can infringe it when it's important,
right? Or
it's
when I like to infringe it and how I like to infringe it. The real issue to me is, does it do any good? So you can go back, and I read an article some time ago, I'm trying to pull it up now, but the statement is more than 80% of guns used in mass shootings were obtained legally. So here we don't just have like an angry guy in a case of road rage. You have somebody who's going into a movie theater in Aurora with multiple weapons and hundreds of rounds of ammunition and shooting 70 plus people. He was able to purchase a gun legally. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to advocate and say, well, we just need to do more checks until we can figure out one that would catch that kind of guy. No, you're not going to do that. The only thing you're going to do is slow up the process for people, say, women who have been threatened.
Like categorized behaviors or warning signs.
No, I don't think we as humans are able to analyze accurately the potential actions, the pre-crime of every possible person who ever intends to purchase a weapon. And the last thing I want is some woman who feels threatened by her boyfriend who does have a like razor sharp temper, and she just knows that this guy is capable of it. She goes to buy a gun and they say, no problem. That'll be a 5-day wait.
Let me ask you this. As far as this guy jumping up and down outside of a car window, not that I think it's a good idea to discharge a firearm inside of a car, but let me ask you this. Would you consider that threatening behavior? Would it be appropriate to draw on that person? Because if you're asking, should he be able to get a gun, you're also asking, should the person in the car be able to get the gun?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sure. You know, I mean, to some extent, because currently it's just difficult to get these things.
Right.
We've got an article here about how very few crimes the concealed carry permit holders commit. They just don't commit very many crimes.
Right.
But if it was a little easier, presumably more people would have them, and the person in the car would have one. Do you think that, like, this is the thing, is what is threatening behavior? When I saw that video,
he was, like, punching the car door,
that's
like,
enough
banging
for me.
On it, saying, I'm going to effing kill you.
Yeah. I didn't see this particular video. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, maybe I saw a still of it or something like mm-hmm. that, and the guy was just sort of hollering outside the window.
Right.
And I don't know, should you be able to jump up and down and holler? I think maybe you should.
Yeah. Well, he was stopped in the middle of the street, too. Like,
that's bad.
Yeah,
if you come out at a street corner to yell at somebody outside their window, that's
bad
news.
Well, his car was in front of him, so then he got out, and, like, no cars could get by him. Then all of a sudden, like, a couple other people, like, showed up and were, like, holding him back or something, and he was, like, trying to rip out of their arms. It was crazy. Like,
wow.
This guy was going nuts.
To answer your question directly, as kind of a gun guy, I would probably, if I were in the car, I would probably have my gun at the ready, just in case something went wrong.
You wouldn't display it?
No.
Sometimes that can stop a situation.
It could. And it's impossible to say, because you're not in that situation, what you would do. I think minimally I would have it in a more ready position. just in case. And
are you a guy that's sort of anti-display the weapon? Are you one of those?
More or less.
If you show it,
I think it's a smarter thing to do is to conceal it. Yeah. You know, you're not a target.
The funny thing is I've seen it work in both ways.
Sure.
And it's really sort of interesting. What are your thoughts? 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. Free as in freedom. Free Talk Live. Talk Live, the live Thursday edition. It is Mark with you.
And Heather.
And Chris.
We are talking about, gun ownership rights. Apparently, Congress has decided that they're qualified to be able to carry weapons across state lines without any trouble.
Oh, not just across state lines, but into places that, you know, normal citizens, just we common folk would not be allowed to carry, even if we had a permit in a given state. So it literally goes to say, you know, things like federal parks, buildings, the National Mall, to and from their offices, schools, military bases. You know, your average citizen cannot go to these places, a lot of them.
I love how soldiers, people who are trained in weapons and trusted with weapons, are not allowed to wear weapons on military bases. It's very strange.
Yeah. And we protested against that a couple of years ago here in Keene, New Hampshire.
I do find that really weird.
Yeah.
There was a shooting on base and
Chattanooga.
Everybody was
Chattanooga, Tennessee. It was a couple of recruiters were killed. So we organized a open carry, long arms and side arms, and open carried in Keene for about a week.
Yep.
A week straight outside.
Was that the local chapter of Oath Keepers? Or
Oath Keepers were involved, also some other local groups and just some regular citizens who saw the insanity in gun-free zones. And a lot of people looked at that and they were like, well, you know, this is great that you're supporting our troops. It's like, for some people, that was what it was about. For many of us, it was about gun-free zones and how they're death traps.
Yeah, a gun-free zone only prevents people who are willing to follow the rules from carrying a weapon in there.
Right.
That's why, I mean, you know, we currently, the funny thing is we have colleges that are not gun-free zones and colleges that are gun-free zones.
Right.
And it appears as though the shootings occur on the campuses that are gun-free zones.
Yes.
And
that would be the history.
So, I mean, there's some science to look at. Like, you can look at, you know, one place, other place, and just sort of take a look at what it looks like. I'm not saying that in a world where people are able to carry weapons that you're not going to have shootings.
Yeah.
I wouldn't claim that at all.
Always will.
But it appears as though mass shootings are stopped by people that are concealed carrying weapons. If there's somebody with a concealed carry weapon there on prem, it's more likely that the shooter will be stopped.
It has stopped people in a lot of examples. And a good friend of mine in Pennsylvania just the other day posted on Facebook, four guys in my driveway getting ready to steal my car. That didn't happen.
Right.
So, and everybody was trying to guess which one of his guns he went out there with to stop. It turned out it was a 9mm. But you're right. The fact that many of these mass shootings do take place in areas where there is no opposition to the shooter, be it shopping malls, schools, military bases, the list kind of goes on. And it's a shame. It's denying somebody the right to defend themselves. And I think that's saying that I deny you the right to own your own body.
I remember as a kid watching TV and you'd see like those movies and stuff where there's like hostage situations and stuff. And I'd always think like, I wish somebody in the room had a gun, you know, kill the bad guys, you know.
But it's a foregone conclusion in American society that people are not going to carry. Especially when those people are not white males. So if you remove from the scenario white males, as far as, you know, taking hostages, right, the chances of somebody who's not a white male having a gun is really low. Concealed carry permit holders tend to be white and tend to be male.
I've never looked at stats on that, but
that's what it is. And I'm not saying that other people don't have guns, and I support carrying a gun, whether or not you got the concealed carry permit. That doesn't matter to me. I think gun safety is really important.
I agree.
I'm just saying that's what the numbers are. You know, the ladies, it seems, aren't as interested in carrying the guns. And I think it's the same reason because I'm scared of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just long and the short of it is I'm been socialized to be sort of a little scared of guns generally.
Not mm-hmm. me, man. I love shooting guns.
I'm glad. Yeah. You know, I hope you carry one on a regular basis, and I don't want to hear one way or the other whether that's the case. But we were talking. Are we sort of done with the article, or did you have something you want to
go? No, I think we really covered it, and that was kind of about it for that one.
You are an instructor, Chris, as far as firearms go.
I've done some instructing. I would not call myself an instructor. There are guys out there that actually make their living at it, and they're a lot better at it than I am.
Understood.
Yeah.
But you had basically said in the last segment that you didn't think that the sort of brandishing a firearm to prevent a crime was a particularly good idea.
It's impossible to say without that, but I think I always try to err on the side of not brandishing. You know, if the longer I can keep the element of surprise, the better off I think I am. But again, every situation is going to be different.
One would presume that one wishes to avoid, shooting somebody, right?
Yes.
And if somebody's gone to the point that they're willing to commit a crime, I'm a little concerned about their mental well-being.
Sure.
So I get that you wouldn't want to show them, but I also sort of see why somebody would want to show them.
Yeah. And in this situation, we're talking about a guy who's doing nothing but screaming and yelling. He hasn't displayed a weapon. He hasn't said he has a gun on him.
He did punch a car.
He did hit the car, though.
Yes, he's used his fists and things like that.
You know what I mean?
So like I said, it sounds like my reaction would be to have my gun at the ready, probably screened by the door or something like that so he didn't see it. And if things got out of control, I'd be able to put it into use quickly, I would hope.
We had a co-host on the show, J.J. Schlesinger, who was a concealed carry permit holder in the state of New Hampshire, had his gun on him and witnessed an armed robbery, was right there when an armed robbery occurred at a place just down here on Main Street in Keene. It's called the Apothecary, if you're familiar.
Yeah.
And the person sort of ran around the corner and back into a car. J.J. followed him and was able to sort of point the police in the right direction. And rather than sort of drawing on the guy and trying to get him on the ground or, you know, displaying a weapon or anything like that, the police, they did get him. And then they, of course, I guess they left somebody with JJ. And essentially they thanked him and said that he had done exactly the right thing, which was not pulling his gun in that circumstance. It's one of those big old 1911 things.
Sure.
I'm sure that would have given them pause if you can shoot at them 9 times. And if that isn't working, you throw that big old hunk of metal at them.
Gotta love the 1911s.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting. And people will say that, you know, the more that we arm our societies, the more crime we'll have. If you make all these things easier, you know, it's going to be shootouts in the streets. It's going to be the OK Corral. And New Hampshire and really Vermont are really good examples of why that's just specious. It's fallacy. Vermont, I've done a little bit of research in trying to figure out if they've ever had a gun law. I don't think they really ever have.
I don't think they have, no.
You can open carry, you can conceal carry in Vermont. They just really don't care. And it's one of the safest places in the country. New Hampshire has one of the lowest violent crime rates in the country too, and you know, we are could always open carry. That was always a thing. You can now concealed carry with a permit or without a permit.
Your choice.
You don't need one. We have more fully automatic machine guns per capita in this state than in any other state in the country. So the actual
interesting fact, I don't know what it means.
It is, but it's these things that people throw out. What? So everybody can have a machine gun? Well, yeah. Actually, if you escalate it, you end up like New Hampshire, and you have less crime. That's just another one of those facts.
And my mom used to make a joke. She's like, "Yeah, up in New Hampshire, they have less murders, but they have more missing people."
It's funny.
Nice.
So they, you know, a machine gun isn't really the sort of weapon that people are going to use to rob banks. Generally, I mean, there's things like the little machine pistols.
Right. True.
But I mean, you know, generally a saw or something like that.
Not a squad operated weapon or something that's going to be on the back of a technical in Mogadishu.
Right.
You're not going to see somebody lug that into a bank robbery.
Sure. I mean, if you need support, sure. And taking the bank.
Right.
You send in two guys with rifles and have the guy with the saw in back. That makes a lot of sense.
And for the record, no, Mark and I are not plotting a bank robbery.
I haven't even considered that.
I hadn't either. Just to make sure nobody thinks we are.
Well, they would have to catch us doing the crime rather than plotting it.
There we go.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, people are always worried about machine guns and what is the double tap thing so that you can learn how to, you know, what is it when you bump tap? Bump fire?
The bump stocks and things like that. So, yeah, it's a sort of a sliding stock. So the once you depress the trigger, it sort of jockeys itself back and forth, and it's like you're pulling the trigger really, really fast. But those are completely legal, you know? You're pulling the trigger one time for every round that comes out of the firearm, and that's the definition of semi-automatic, not automatic. But I disagree with the laws on automatic weapons. I think the Firearms Act of 1933 ought to be repealed. I should be able to buy a fully automatic weapon.
Right.
It doesn't matter what type of weapon I possess, is my own opinion. What matters is what I actually do with it. And if I violate the law with it, I should pay the price. If I don't, leave me alone.
I can't see what's wrong with that. What do you think? The number is 855-450-3733. It's 855-450. Free as in freedom. Or you can call us on Skype. The username is lrn.fm.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and we're kicking off the third hour. It's Mark with you.
And Heather.
And Chris.
You can give us a call and about whatever is on your mind here at Free Talk Live. That's what we do. But we also, you know, we do a little bit of show prep. Now, we're going to go right to the callers, but I do want to tease this story. Apparently, Heather, people in Congress are trying very hard to increase our financial freedom, right?
Exactly. That's you're so smart. What it you is. Always know exactly what they're trying to do. No, they're actually trying to, what it appears to be, is crack down on cryptocurrencies. And this is their way of basically trying to get people to snitch on those not using banks.
So they want Americans to act as unpaid police officers on their friends and family in order to be able to control people's banking habits?
It worked in 1984, mm-hmm. That book.
It certainly did. Let's go to the phones. Talk to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just want to mention that it turns out that they already had like 4 mayoral debates already.
What are you talking about, 4 mayoral debates? I have no mayor.
Nothing about Albuquerque election. We're voting for a mayor.
Oh, Albuquerque.
Okay, well, okay. So are people all over the country. Was there national news in this?
Oh, my whole point is that nobody knows about it. And we're scrambling around for debates, and then we already have 4. What I'm saying is that they like dumb, uneducated voters because they want us to show up and just vote for the wrong person. This is very deliberate. It's not on purpose.
Are you saying that the mayor had debates and nobody in New Mexico knew that they were happening?
Well, the thing is, you have to like sit there and be on the computer and get all the campaign's office phone numbers. You have to call and ask around, and
so there's no advertisement for these debates.
Right. It's never announced on the. I listen to the morning news. It's never announced. Mm-hmm. And then I called in the KKOB Saturday show, and then he announced the wrong hotel. It was actually Best Western in Old Town. Oh, I found out after I told 10 people, and he said it was Embassy Suites.
Well,
so
again,
they're giving a wrong location.
Again, Sarah, I'm going to agree with you in that, yes, it does seem that they just want a bunch of uneducated voters who will just sort of fall for whatever the best spin is that's out there.
Do both candidates want that?
One of them does.
It's not a both. We got 9 people running.
Do all 9 candidates want stupid voters? It would seem that some of them would want educated voters. I got to blame the voters on this one. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't know what's going on city elections.
Sure.
City elections tend to affect you more than a national election does.
Agreed.
Everybody knows who the president is. About half of us don't even know who the mayor is. And I couldn't tell you who the mayor is in Keene. It's the next town over from where I live. It doesn't affect my life dramatically, but it does affect it. Not that I could do anything about it.
Right.
But Americans just don't care about local elections. Oftentimes you'll see turnouts between 2 and 10% for local elections. 10% is a huge turnout.
That's interesting. In my town, turnouts for local elections, they're bigger during the big election cycle.
Yeah.
But they're pretty good.
New Hampshire is a...
Probably an outlier.
It is an outlier as far as that goes.
I'd agree with that.
Politics is the state sport.
But to me, this mayor election, to me, it's a big deal. To me, it's important to me because this mayor can bring our speeding bans and red light cameras back, depending on who we get. It's like a lottery. It's a gamble. You know what I mean? You never know who we're going to wind up with.
Do you have a favorite candidate?
Well, the thing about it is that if we get a strict public safety mayor, I think that we're going to get that. I think the people, what little people show up or what little people pay attention to, they're going to want public safety because we get, 27 cars stolen every day? So they're going to be like, what are you going to do to solve our theft and auto theft? So it's a big deal to me. But like you said, Mark, you're right. It's that it seems like the whole system is that if you're stupid where you can't dig up this information on the computer, if you're lazy, if you're stupid and you're poor, you don't have a computer or a car, well, then don't vote. That's the going thing here. If you're stupid, if you're poor and you're dumb and you're lazy, why bother voting? We're going to make it very, very difficult for you to vote.
Do we want people that we would describe with those adjectives voting? I mean, I just wondered to myself.
No, that's a good question.
I know that the percentage of the population that voted for George Washington was less than 2%. And, you know, presumably he's one of the greatest, presidents in American history. So I'm told.
By some.
Yeah. Well, generally that's what people say. And, people self-selected out of the election because they didn't feel like they were, qualified to vote for whatever reason. Some of them weren't qualified to vote because they weren't a white 21-year-old landowner.
Yeah.
I kind of like it when people self-select out of elections because usually it's because of ignorance. And ignorance isn't stupidity. It's ignorance. It's just not knowing. I'm ignorant.
Your dad or just not caring, you know? Sometimes
it's
I
apathy.
Wonder and I'm like,
a lot of
you
times
know,
it's apathy. Yeah.
I've had this thought when it comes to like libertarians and stuff. Like, are we just all of the people that just always hated authority? Because I noticed some people, they don't mind it. Some people function better when you tell them what to do and what's right and what's wrong. And they just seem to be so submissive in nature. Like, is everybody that's involved in politics just like a certain breed of people where we're like the alphas of the human species and we just, tend to resist any type of authority or rule over us? But
slavery is the natural human condition. Most humans have lived in some form of slavery since the agrarian revolution 9,000 years ago.
But is it slavery if they choose to be in a submissive role?
All right. Bondage, subservience, or, whatever terminology.
But you can consent to be in a submissive role.
You can consent to slavery, I suppose.
Right.
But then it wouldn't be slavery. It would just be saying that I'm relinquishing my,
I'll work for free.
All right.
We'll work for free for food.
You're right. You guys are right. Is that most people, they want to be sheeple. They could care less. Most people you ask, I don't care about
they
anything.
They sleep better at night.
They're ready to vote. Yeah, because they want to be sheeple. They want everybody else to vote and decide for them. But they don't care. They'll just take whatever people dish out to them. But you're right. Most people that participate, it's very few people that really care to figure out where the debates are, really want to go out and vote. Because most people, it's like, oh, I don't care. But I'll just do what everybody tells me to do.
Because follow the herd.
Well, it's the passive no resistance, the easy way out.
We're a bunch of sheep dogs in a field of sheep. That's what I feel like.
Thanks for the call,
Sarah.
Just
a different breed, a different species.
I often feel the same way, but I can't say I'm great on these issues. I don't know that I could name both the representatives for the state of New Hampshire. I don't know that I could name both senators. I've already admitted to not being able to name the mayor. I've become less engaged with politics over time because I tend to understand that my vote is relatively meaningless and that my participation through the state process. If going to Concord and testifying on a bill is so much more effective,
yep.
And I can do it any time. Like, for instance, Daryl W. Perry, who normally sits in this chair on Thursday evenings, he runs his Liberty Lobby. He's a lobbyist, and he gets paid by just people, libertarian types. And I can't tell you. You look up Liberty Lobby, you'll find him. And I've stated, and I'm going to confident with this, is that he's more powerful than about a quarter of the representatives who are elected to office in the state of New Hampshire.
I would not disagree with that at all.
Right. Yeah,
so,
I know.
Some good percentage of them don't show up, so he's more powerful than them.
Right.
A percentage of them just show up to do their votes or whatever.
Right.
He can go in there and he can sway a certain amount of these people just by, the fact that
he does his research.
He's on top of each issue.
Right.
And when you show up and you sort of, take his talking points or whatever, then you can go and be amplified as far as numbers go. And voting an election, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying that of the things that I do, that's probably the least effective activism.
I mean, right. I was fortunate enough to go to the State House and do some testimonies and stuff in front of it. And I have to say, it was thanks to Ian and Daryl that I realized the power of lobbying like that and influencing the people in those chairs.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for
going.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's free as in freedom, 855-450-3733 or lrn.fm on Skype. Free Talk Live. Talk Live. It's Mark with you. Oh, I caught Heather. Sorry.
And Heather.
And Chris.
You can call in and talk about what you want. We're taking calls right now. We've got Michael W. Dean calling in on Skype.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I got you.
We can hear you now.
Cool, man.
So this is Michael W. Dean from the Freedom Fiends, Free Talk Live's sister show. Tell everybody about Freedom Fiends just a little bit.
Freedom Fiends is a show that started as a podcast in 2011, got on radio 2 years later, run not nearly as many stations as you guys are, but 29, 30, depends on who's kicked us off and who's added us that week. But it's the little radio show that could.
And it goes on in the evening. What's the website?
It's freedomfiends.com. Fiends is Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. And it's on at 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. East Coast time.
It's brutal.
Weeknights. Yeah. Did you say brutal?
Yeah, I stayed up for it once or twice. And, oh, man.
You're on it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I was 3 a.m. Doing a show till 3 a.m. It's just brutal. Yeah. If you're ready for it, if you can take that nap beforehand. Yeah.
Right.
It'd be all right.
Well, it's 11 o'clock. To 1 a.m. where I am in Wyoming, and we have some hosts on the East Coast, but now we got Daryl Becker, who's in Hawaii. I think it's 7 to 9 p.m. his time.
Sweet. Yeah, I know what it's like to do a show at that time.
He's almost drive time. That's nice.
But there was a really big news out of on your Facebook page in the last couple of days, and that is a book that I found to be life-changing, a book that I advocate for anyone to read. It's not politics. It's nothing. It's not gender oriented. Nothing. Everybody should read the User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Yeah, it's a book I wrote in 2008, published in 2009 as a paperback and an audiobook, and finally got around to doing an update and putting it out on Kindle. So it's out on Kindle now. User's Manual for the Human Experience. You can get it on Amazon. It's $3.99 on Kindle, or I think it's 99 cents if you have Amazon Prime for the first month or something like that. And it's a book that I put out and kind of threw out in the world a message in a bottle, and it's still kind of reverberating back to me. Like, people tell me, this book changed my life.
That book changed my life.
The book changed your life. I was just actually updating the Amazon page. Your blurb you gave me for it today is now on Amazon. What a time to be alive, man. I started writing books in 2000 when they were paperback, and if I wanted to like add a blurb, I had to like get $4,000 for a new printing of 1,000 right. copies, you know.
Yeah. And indeed. Well, so I listened with my wife. We listened together and then discussed the chapters as we went through them.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow, I can't remember. Book club.
Yeah, it was really great because this book it just crosses all boundaries. It addresses so many things, like how to carry yourself when you're walking down the street, how to get rid of a toxic person out of your life, how to deal with I can't even remember all the things that came right. up, but those are the things that I found particularly useful in the book, and those are the ones that have stuck with me now probably 10 years on, and I probably should go back and take another listen. It's well worth it. So when you updated it, did you update?
It was a lot of stuff that wouldn't affect like an audiobook. You listen to the audiobook. There's a lot of URLs that are no longer. You know what I find that's funny? Over like that period of time from like, mid 2000, 10 years or so, a lot of sites that have a commercial aspect are still up, and a lot of personal websites people have are not. Fancy that.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, but a little bit here and there of adding a little bit about what I've learned since then. I've gone through some really trying things with illness, and I have some good news is while I'm still pretty sick, I'm not dying like I was in the past 2 years.
Thank God. I was close to writing you off, brother. Things you were pretty ill there for a little while. And, it was very demoralizing for me. I feel like you're important in the liberty movement. Wow. I understand that not everybody is your biggest fan or anything like that. But I think that the role you play as sort of referee is extraordinarily important.
That's so cool, man. You know, it's and not to be too much of a mutual admiration society here, but
I don't take compliments well.
Yeah, I'll compliment your show instead
Thank
of you,
you.
Because you guys were part of my path to liberty. Like the first time I heard the word libertarian was in college. I was tripping my first day of college and the Libertarian Party had a card table in the student union and they were like, they looked at me and they could tell I was stoned and they're like, oh, are you in favor of legalizing marijuana? You know, they were playing to their crowd.
No doubt.
If I had a suit on, they'd probably talk to me about economic aspects. And I was like, and I walked away. Like they looked like they reminded me of like, people that knock on your door and try to sell you a religion.
Yep.
So I just, that was like, and I didn't really encounter liberty until.
It's funny. I always think of political parties as like religions in a sense, right? Because people get so passionate. People get more passionate about politics and they do religion in some cases.
It's also the pasted on smile that and what else are you going to put on your face in order to look welcoming, but that pasted on smile is just a little creepy. I remember talking to a reporter here in New Hampshire probably in 2012 about Bitcoin, and she was trying to figure out if it was multi-level marketing scheme or exactly what I got out of it, and I'm like, no, I just love Bitcoin, want to talk about it some more?
Yeah, that's what people in a culture of multi-level marketing says.
Right.
No, I just love it, and it will change your life. So, kind of the last person who should write a book that people read it and say, this changed my life. But so one of my first inklings of liberty was my wife and I were doing like a sex podcast that's no longer around because I started doing liberty stuff and got real busy, and then she got busier with work. We still had the sex, but not the podcast.
I'm glad to hear that.
Always a good thing.
So the we went to the like our first wedding anniversary, I think in 2006, we went to the podcast expo. It's now called the New Media Expo, but it was in Southern California. You know, it was like a 2-hour drive from us. We didn't have to fly or anything. And we went there and we were on a couple panels already with our first podcast. And we heard the award given out, we were watching the awards, and one was Best Political Podcast, Free Talk Live. And I was like, what? And you guys weren't there. But somebody else, they said, oh, we'll mail it to them. And I was like, what is Free Talk Live? When I got home, I checked it out. And, and then I found Boston Tea Party's books, and then we bought guns. And, years later, here we are. You're telling me I'm good and important. That's pretty cool, man.
Can you tell folks how they can go about getting the audio version and the new Kindle version and all those things of the user's manual for the human experience? And thank you for calling in with us, by the way.
Yeah, if you want to remember a URL, michaelwdean.com, or just search Michael W. Dean, my site will come up, and it's one of the links at the top for user's manual for the human experience. Or you could just go to Amazon and search user's manual for the human experience, and a couple different pages will come up. For some reason, there's like another page publisher I was going through went out and put up, and that one's like $160. That's not the one you want. You want the one that's like normal Kindle price and paperback price. And there's also the Audible. If you have audible.com, they have the free audiobook there, and if not, it's a few bucks.
I'm happy to say you just sold one more copy.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the audio version of it, I've got to say. And when you download people's MP3s, send them some money.
Yes.
Thanks for the call, Michael.
Yeah, thanks.
Free Talk Live.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon via shop.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, the live Thursday edition. It's Mark with you.
And Heather.
And Chris.
You can call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. We take your calls here on Free Talk Live. That's what we called it. Free Talk Live. We intend to take your calls.
That all makes sense now.
And you're free to call. You're free to talk. And it's live. Free Talk Live. Just give us a call at 855-450-3733. Let's go back to the phones. We got Tom calling in from Nashua. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well, you know, with the Obamacare repeal and replace bill being crafted behind closed doors and finally being released, now the liberals have this plan what they're going to do. See, the liberals and the socialist types and the Democrats, they're going to march in the streets of Washington, D.C. and demand that those dirty, rotten, lousy, no-good politicians control even more of the country's health care.
Right. Because that's worked out so well.
That'll fix it.
Over the course of the decades that as the government has clawed its way into health care, prices have gone up over time. And, I mean, you know, these big pharmaceutical companies have latched on. They're entrenched. There's really not much good other than medical innovation, which has certainly occurred in that time period.
But go back to the American Medical Association. That's how far back since they started clamoring to get favors from government.
Yeah, and they control the number of doctors. I never even understood that.
The number of medical schools. Yeah, it's crazy.
It is.
Let me point something out here. You know, if somebody had compare two bad habits, smoking, cigarettes, and gambling, okay, even if they smoke two packs a day, okay, that's, I don't know, if it's $6, $7 a pack, okay, so they could probably afford that on what an average working person makes. But gambling, you know, there's like no limit to how much money you could gamble away, except how much money is available to you. And the same is true with health care. You know, okay, so let's say some old fogey is in the nursing home and it's going to cost $1,000 so they can fog a mirror for another month. And so they shell out $1,000. Then it's going to cost $10,000 so they can fog a mirror for another month. And then it's going to cost $100,000 for them to fog a mirror for another month. You know, they have to, they got to put a price on human life. It sounds like so cruel, but there is a limit to what is available here. And I took a look at the premiums, and the reason they're getting away with it is because of the clever ways that they conceal the cost. A lot of people just only care about their out-of-pocket expense. But, you know, if the, I mean, whatever amount that they quote you in the Help Wanted ad, that has that is like no meaning at all. Just for example, $10 per hour.
Right.
But if they're also tacking on $5 an hour worth of health insurance, then you have to put out labor that's worth $15 or you're gone. They can't, mm-hmm. they don't need you anymore.
Sure.
They have to look at that. And this is how people are paying for it. That's one way to explain how, you know, your employer having to pay that is actually you paying for it. They don't look at it like that, just like they only look at how much money they're getting back from their federal income tax refund. And, you know, a lot of people just, they don't realize, oh, well, gee, I can't afford all of that, but good thing the government is kicking in so much of it instead of...
I got money from the government.
I remember reading something saying that Starbucks spends more on employee health care than they do on coffee beans,
jeez.
Which I found, mind-blowing. I was like, yeah. You know, it'd be better if they could, you know, give money directly to their employees that could then go purchase insurance freely, and then there would be more of a competition in competing insurance companies lowering their prices to try to beat the other insurance companies.
But it's the insurance companies generally that have driven up the cost. So
I would argue against that.
What?
Here's another point, though.
The government regulations that have driven up the cost.
Right.
Insurance companies are just like, I mean, I used to work for one. I brokered Medicare supplements that picked up the difference for the deductibles and stuff that the Medicare wouldn't cover.
Here's the point I want to make.
Hold on just one second. Referee in here. What I'm trying to say, and I think that this is fair, is when people don't have to bear the burden of the cost of the things that they're doing, they're more likely to use medical care. If they suddenly don't have to pay the cost, then they want all that treatment. But if they have to pay, I think insurance should just be for catastrophic, you know, heart surgery or something like that.
Absolutely.
But everything's been driven up because everybody has this all comprehensive insurance that will cover sniffles and bruises and all that other stuff. Go ahead, Tom.
By the way, let's say somebody's got to take this medication and it costs $10 a day for this medicine. Okay, now along comes the pharmaceutical industry and they come up with something that is supposedly better. Okay, maybe it is proven to be better, but it's $100 a day. Now, the doctors are not allowed to prescribe the $10 a day pills because that's medical malpractice. Those have been replaced by something that is better.
Right.
And if you got insurance, then you're not about to go griping to members of Congress, of all people. I mean, it shouldn't even be regulated at the federal level anyway, but they're not going to go griping to Congress about how all this money is being squandered on these pills that don't really do much better. But if they don't have any insurance, now they can't buy any pills. They probably can't afford the pills at all, and they're going to die. And because it's malpractice, medical malpractice to prescribe what they could afford. And if the pharmacist just went ahead and sold them the pills anyway, the pharmacist could get arrested by the cops.
Sure.
So you've got to remember,
government?
It's always the fault of cops. Everything is always the fault of cops.
Thank you for the call, Tom.
Yeah, a couple thoughts in there. I mean, number one, the more regulated an industry, the less efficient it is, and healthcare is a prime example. We've had regulation involved in that, like I said, since the AMA got involved, and then insurance companies, once the idea of healthcare came about, which we didn't used to have, came about, then they were like, whoa, this is great. We can make money off of this.
Yes.
Let's serve
some giant Holstein cow that we can milk all day for the rest of our lives.
Right. But only if we get the power of government behind it.
Yep.
And that's why most of the the Americans, well, whatever Obamacare is actually called, is written by insurance industry lobbyists.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're the ones that wrote it because they wrote it in such a way that they can maximize their profits from it.
I think everybody should go and, you know, next opportunity to just search for the impossible healthcare solution. If you go on Google, you can see what the pricing was back in the 40s of healthcare.
Oh, that's great.
And that's when the government hadn't been involved. And that, you know, I mean, has medicine increased that much that pricing would be that much? No, it's overhead from bureaucrats and rules and regulations.
And the idea that we can't do things more efficiently today than we could 40, 50 years ago, it's medical care or it's a loaf of bread. You know, tell me why I spend $2 on a loaf of bread when I could buy it for a nickel in 1964.
But there are solutions. For instance, our sponsor, Health Excellence Select. If you go to healthexcellenceselect.com, it's basically a health sharing organization. Plus, they do a monitoring of your health. They'll give you a health assessment daily if you need it. They've also got medical cards so that you can share your, you know, HIPAA classified information with whomever you want. It's a great way to take control of your health and to get sort of be rewarded for being healthy. HealthExcellenceSelect.com. By the way, the pricing is so much better. If you are paying for your own insurance or you've got a high deductible, you really need to check them out, because a family can be taken care of for, I think it's under $600 per month. HealthExcellenceSelect.com. So, let's go to the phones. Well, we're getting right here on the edge of it. I don't want to take Ralph because God knows he's going to berate us about, I don't know, color or something. Anyway.
Oh, Ralph. I haven't heard from him in a while.
You know, Heather, I don't know whether we're going to get to your story on, you know, the government bureaucrats deciding that we shouldn't be able to apparently even have cryptocurrency and trying to get our neighbors and our friends and families to snitch on us. It's where is that story from?
It's ethnews.com. I don't know if that's short for the
Ethereum.
ETH as in Ethereum News. ethnews.com. The number is 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live. It's the final segment of the final hour here on Free Talk Live. It's Mark with you.
And Heather.
And Chris.
You can call in. We probably squeeze you in, potentially, here. If you call in at 855-450-FREE, that's 855-450-3733. Nobody has the take on the issues that Free Talk Live has. There is no radio program, barring the Freedom Fiends that Michael W. Dean called in, but none that you can call into, where they take a principled libertarian stand every issue, every time. If you find it valuable that that stand is broadcast to hundreds of thousands of people every single week, you can help reach more people. All you have to do is join our AMP program at amp.freetalklive.com. That's A-M-P, AMP, as in advertise, market, and promote. amp.freetalklive.com, and help us spread the message. There are some perks. We will make sure that you get them, and they're well worth it. amp.freetalklive.com. All we ask for is $5 a month, and come on, it's what, one Frappuccino thing? I mean, I don't know what. I recently got one. Somebody gave me $5 gift card.
This blew me away the other day. I bought a stick of deodorant for $7. I was like, are you kidding me?
Man, you've got some golden armpits.
No kidding. You smell great. I'm just telling you that to make you feel better.
Well, I don't like, it's just a Dove, you know, brand. Nothing special, but it's
it's special. It's $3,
$7. Cheap stuff ruins the clothes.
Oh.
Like, you know what I mean? I don't like the way it...
I try to get my clothes for free or I have political t-shirts.
I was just blown away. Yeah. But anyway, see, $5 for Free Talk Live a month is like less than I pay for a stick of deodorant, so... It's really
I exempt co-hosts because you already give so much. So amp.freetalklive.com. Let's go to Ralph calling in from New Jersey. Ralph, you're on Free Talk Live.
You know, this whole situation about the double standard, it goes without saying, and it's stating the obvious for me that the double standard exists vis-a-vis Obama and now President
Hold
Trump.
On. Okay? Barack Obama's not not the President of the United States.
Nevertheless, he's working behind the scenes, sir.
He's working behind the scenes.
That's correct, right. Well, the very definition of Mark, with all due respect, identify the third guy with you. The third guy, what's his name?
Chris.
So I can acknowledge him.
Hi.
I know about Heather being there. My Jersey girl, good evening to you, my girl. How are you?
That's Heather.
Oh, hi. How are you, my friend?
That Jersey girl in the house. That's what I say. You're from New Jersey. You used to be from New Jersey, Heather.
No,
you know?
I'm from Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's still a socialist cesspool, though.
Well, okay, all right.
I was from Cape Cod, to be exact. You know where that is?
You know, you know, Mark, this whole situation with Russia happened when Obama was under the watch of Obama. Okay.
Okay.
And it's not only me asking this question, now President Trump in his tweet was asking if it happens, you know, during the administration of Obama, what was he doing about stopping, putting a stop to it or putting an end to it? Okay? Mm-hmm. I have a follow-up question, if I may.
Well, Barack Obama's not the FBI, right? Like, he is the chief executive, but it's not like he does any investigation himself.
Right. But I understand what Ralph's saying is all these things are getting blamed on Trump, yet they all occurred while under Obama's administration. So I kind of get that. Go ahead.
My follow-up question would be along the line of what did Obama know?
And when did he know it?
What did Obama know about this? That's a legitimate question to ask. How come there is no investigation? There is no proof regarding that. And by the way, the guy who I will identify the man who now came up and give me the idea of calling Obama El Negro. His name is Armando Garcia. Okay, he's a fine Cuban American, and he gave me a call when President Trump was in Miami to announce the reversal of El Negro and his wicked policy vis-a-vis Cuba.
Oh, okay? No, that policy is not wicked. You know what's wicked? Denying hardworking people the ability to buy stuff.
Right.
That's what's wicked.
I used to call him El Negro. Nowadays, I would refer to him as El, you know, Caper El Negro or El Negro Caper.
Caper?
If it's okay with you.
Is it like
I'm
the little
sure it's not okay with you, right?
That's what I was thinking.
I don't know what you're talking about. Thanks for the call, Ralph.
Thanks, Ralph.
Caper.
If you've got a rush to the defense of the most powerful person in the world, i.e. the President of the United States, you've got your priorities mixed up, right?
Like, something's wrong here.
You know, he doesn't need your help. Mm. This is the politics game. Russia is just Republican for Benghazi, or Democrat, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I know what you're saying,
though. So don't care about this political garbage.
But the thing is, it's like,
is
wow,
Trump corrupt? Yes!
Of course
Trump's corrupt! Is Obama corrupt? Yes! Obama's corrupt! How did they get the seat? Are you that much of a fool, America, that you think that an honest man could get the presidency? Is that how dumb you are? I mean, don't vote. If you're that stupid, don't even bother voting. You have to be corrupt. You have to be a sociopath to possibly make it through the phalanx that is the political process.
No,
yuck.
We've never seen anything like this ever in history,
that
Mark.
You have to be a sociopath to make the debates, because Gary wasn't allowed in them, so he obviously didn't fit the criteria of sociopath.
Yeah, it's just insanity to believe that. And we go through this every couple of years. It's got to be the right against the left or vice versa, and it's as if we've never seen this before.
So when it comes to the plum that is power,
mm-hmm.
there's the plum that is the nomination to presidency, right?
Yeah.
There's this, you know, there's this big juicy fruit that is the presidency. There's the big juicy fruit that is the nomination to be the president. Mm-hmm. And then there's the tiny little fruit that is the nomination to the Libertarian Party, right? So the bigger the prize, the more corrupt you've got to be to get it. And in the case of the Libertarian Party, you know, people have got their problems with Gary Johnson, there's no doubt. I chose to vote for him because who the heck was I going to vote for?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was the best candidate on the block from what I could tell by a long shot. Plus, he's a friend.
Yeah, no, I actually worked on the campaign. So I was the state director for the campaign in Massachusetts, and I have no regrets. You know, I thought Gary was humbled and well-intentioned. Maybe people might disagree with him in philosophy, but, you know, if you look at where I was 5 years ago, it's not where I was in philosophy today. So people learn, they grow, and I thought Gary's well on his way to becoming more and more libertarian.
I think as close to a perfect candidate as I ever voted for was Ron Paul.
You
know,
you
somebody
so?
I could really kind of go down the checklist and go, yep, agree.
So in what ways was Ron Paul different than Gary?
I think in consistency, if I were to say one thing, Ron Paul, I felt, was always consistent on his positions. And I voted for Gary Johnson, too.
I mean, Gary's because vetoed 750 pieces of legislation. I call that pretty consistent.
It's a line item veto.
Exactly.
To be entirely fair. Yeah. So, I mean, that means removing words and stuff from laws. I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve accolades, but, Ron Paul had the advantage of never getting anything done.
Right.
Right. Like, it's easy to sit on the sideline and, be principled when you have the understanding that you're never going to get anything done. Whereas Gary was the most qualified person on the ballot. He had 8 years of executive experience.
Not only that, but business experience, too. Building his company from the ground up, door knocking a construction company and growing it to employ over 1,000 people. I mean, that's incredible entrepreneurship.
I understand all that. I'm just saying there were a couple issues that I felt like he could have. For me, taking a more libertarian position, more consistent libertarian position, and that doesn't matter because that was me and my vote. And compared to the other two, he got it easily. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, I would have loved to have seen him in those debates, but there was so much corruption, man. They reused the same polls for the second debate as they did the first. So when they say you got to get 15% to get in the polls, one, the polls excluded millennials age 18 to 25. And the second time when they repolled after we dumped hundreds of thousands of dollars like into advertising and stuff like that in key battleground states, they used the same polls from the first set. So they didn't. It didn't take into consideration any increase in growth or, reach. So the whole thing was skewed. It was corrupted. He was
politics is rigged? Is that what you're saying?
After Ross Perot, the two-party system got a little wake-up call.
Oh, no kidding.
They realized that, we can cut the budget here. Right? Like, that guy could have won. If it hadn't been for the ninjas and dropping out and then getting back in and the whole deal.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the possibility that Ross Perot could have won was there. And they want to make sure that never happens again.
Yep.
So they've made it very difficult. They'll set whatever standard there is to set to make sure that a third party never has a chance. And that's the system in which we work. I hope that they can get some court case out there that fixes it, but I don't hold a lot of hope. It's been Mark with you.
And Heather.
And Chris.
Check us out in the meantime at freetalklive.com. Our Facebook page is at facebook.freetalklive.com. Don't throw those cigarette butts out the window. Free Talk Live.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101reasonsfilm.com. 101reasonsfilm.com.